Blog Talk Radio.
Civil War. Interesting birthdays today. The first of the German George kings, you know, the English house Windsor was actually named Battenberg after Queen Victoria's husband Albert, who was from Saxe-Coburg, which is German. And actually the German line goes back after James II, after William and Mary. William of Nassau, Dutch, came over with his wife Mary, and of course you have William and Mary College in Virginia. And I don't think they had any kids. And then went after in 1660, the Hanoverian line started with the Georges, who didn't speak English. And then went straight through, and there was various marriages. Although the stronger claim to the English throne is Diana's line, Diana Spencer. They go back to the Duke of Marlborough, 16th, 17th century. And so there's this debate that's going on. And also I heard that there's an even stronger claim by the descendants of Mary, Queen of Scots. One of them was a Roman Catholic bishop. Among the other birthdays today were the Pitt the Younger. Now, William Pitt the Older and William Pitt the Younger were prime ministers during the 17th century Napoleonic era. It's almost like the two Bushes, W and then George Bush the First. Among today, also interesting birthdays today, was 1738, the inventor of the guillotine, Dr. Ignace Guillotin, French doctor, and he thought the guillotine would be a much more humane way of executing people. Great Civil War, American Civil War Confederate general, Pierre Beauregard, born in 1818. And we had the famous English author who became a Roman Catholic, G.K. Chesterton. The great Indian Native American athlete who won in the Olympics, but he got disqualified because he turned pro, I think, before he ran the Olympics. Jim Thorpe, and it's a famous movie with starring Burt Lancaster and Charles Bickford. If you like those 007 mysteries, Ian Fleming, Commander Ian Fleming, was born today, and of course he was in British Naval Intelligence. A book I had to read in college, and a book we should all be reading again, about the American power elite and what their background is. A lot of them, I remember, Episcopalian. They went to certain types of schools, Yale, Harvard, that crowd. C. Wright Mills, the author of The Power Elite. It's still a great book. Another great book you ought to read is that by Eric Hoffer, who was blind. He regained his sight and was the intellectual longshoreman here in San Francisco. Unfortunately, I never got a chance to interview him, but everything he said back in the 60s and 70s is very relevant today. And you look at this Occupy crowd, which incidentally, we just came across some of their literature, and they're definitely communists who are out to destroy capitalism. They're making no bones about it, and of course they want to dance on the bones of Americans who believe in capitalism. A Jewish author, I don't know if he practiced, I always say that because I know so many, even in my family, who have Jewish heritage but never practiced, including my stepmother. Stephen Birmingham, who wrote Our Crowd, about famous Jewish families in New York, and he's written other books. Let's see who else we have here. The Dion Quintet list. Now, back in the 30s, this poor, semi-literate Quebec farmer and his wife had five girls. They were the first surviving quintuplets that were known at the time. And what happened was the Canadian government saw that they have these girls were mediagenic, and they took over the care of the girls. The parents were barely literate, and there were scholarships set up for them, and they were moved around, and there were a lot of media attention. It was a lot of stress on the family. In fact, the country doctor, French Canadian, who he became a star and a media mover, and it's a lot of stress on these girls. One later became a nun. Another got divorced. The one died. It was a very tragic life for the Dion quintuplets. Also, Rudy Giuliani is born on this day, mayor of New York. And if you like Creedence Clearwater Review, John Fogerty, born on this date. Among the deaths today were the inventor or the guy who started the Webster's Dictionary, Noah Webster. There were several famous Austrian Jewish psychologists, psychiatrists. Sigmund Freud is the best known. There was a guy named Rascher, which we get, I think he specialized in sadomasochism studies. And then there was Alfred Adler, who was an Austrian psychiatrist, and he had his own theories on troubles of the mind. If you remember the famous movie with Claudette Kohlberg and Clark Gable, It Happened One Night, well, Walter Connolly, the guy that wrote the book and the script, he died on this date. The Duke of Windsor, back to those German kings, Edward VIII, who was had the name but never the crown, or was never crowned, he died on this date. And then we had, among the events today, we had the first Baptist church was set up in 1664 in Boston. In 1754, George Washington defeated in the French and Indian War, where he got his military training at Fort Duquesne, which later became Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. First Continental Congress convened in 1754. In 1863, the first black regiment left Boston for the Civil War. And there's a famous movie with Matthew Broderick. I forgot the name of it. And then we had the revolution in Paris, the Paris Communards. There were, I think, 100,000 residents of Paris we wouldn't call them gangs, but neighborhoods rose up in revolt. The French army brutally put it down in 1871, and then you got the Third Republic with Marshal MacMahon, who was part of the Wild Geese. His family was originally from Ireland, as was General Charles de Gaulle. In 1892, the Sierra Club was started here in California. In 1926, the U.S. Customs Court was set up. That's where these are very specialized federal courts. It's like the tax court and the court of military courts for military personnel. And this is the 75th anniversary of the Golden Gate Bridge, which directors of KLW, the late, great Ted Samuel, was one of the first people to walk across the bridge. If you can go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site on KLWFM, AMICUSVERITAS, YouTube, you'll see that, Ted Samuel, who also helped liberate one of the concentration camps. And his family, originally German-Jewish, that came from Germany. On this day also, in 1961, after getting a Nobel Peace Prize in 1977, recipients of that Peace Prize apparently set up Amnesty International. Amnesty International was solicited to help in these military recruits cases of Norfolk 4, Stephen Nery in California, and Tim Masters in Colorado, and they never responded. They weren't interested. I guess it's not politically correct for this group. So, and they've asked for money, and people who know about their disinterest are not going to go into their pocket or open their wallets or write checks for these people or send them a credit from their credit card. Also on this day in 1968, and this is something which I did, I was a volunteer in the Eugene McCarthy campaign. He won his first primary in Oregon and moved. He was from Minnesota, not related to Joe McCarthy of Wisconsin, although, excuse me, they're next door, or were. And then in 1972, the Watergate plumbers raided the Watergate complex in Washington, D.C. They were caught. And all the lawyers, this is interesting, all the lawyers went to jail. The accountant, Maurice Stans, who was Secretary of Commerce, he was acquitted. So just goes to show you, these lawyers who think they're untouchable, that's one case where they all people who were lawyers, John Dean, several others, the Attorney General at the time, John Mitchell, all went to federal prison. We have it just shows you that these guys don't have the infallibility and the immunity that they think they do. We had a notorious case here in San Francisco at 101 California downtown building, which was involved in the HUD scandal. And this guy claimed that they ripped him off. He gave him his last money. And they didn't produce, maybe they couldn't produce. Anyway, he lost it and went up on a rooftop and started wiping out or trying to wipe out the law firm called Pettit & Martin. So it was probably the biggest slaughter of law firm employees in U.S. history. And also today is Confederate Memorial Day. Now, an interesting other event is a guy named LaFrance. Now, he was a friend of William the Conqueror who went over to England and defeated Harold at 1066 at the Battle of Hastings. And, of course, they went over to Catholicize the barbarian Saxons. And William the Conqueror and LaFrance were Normans from France. And he later became Archbishop of Canterbury, the predecessor of Thomas a Becket, who was a Saxon, but a friend of Henry II, who was a Norman. The Plantagenets, they're called. Now, LaFrance tried to shape up the clergy in England, and no man who wanted to be ordained as a priest could not be married. He wouldn't ordain them as a priest or allow them to be ordained. However, if a priest was already married, then they were allowed to stay married. But so this is where one of the origins of celibacy for the Roman Catholic priesthood. This is one of the origins right there. Now, among the interesting things that have happened today or this last week are the expose of manipulations again in the Vatican involving the Vatican's finances and wily bishops. There's a series out called The Borgias, and I haven't seen it, but knowing something about the history of the Borgias, Pope Alexander, when they had kids, there were murders, there were thefts, trumped up Inquisition trials. I would recommend Jack Cashel's book, Popes and Bankers. It's a great expose. Unfortunately, Cashel, who is a very prolific author, very articulate, writes about a book a year, and it's well done. He does his research. I would recommend his book. It's available on Amazon, and of course, he's written other things like What's the Matter with California, and the Stephen Neri case, U.S. Navy sailor case, was based on material that I gave him, or was able to give him, was not able to give him a lot of things at that time. Also on our YouTube site, and we're updating as fast as possible, and we're affiliated with a new site on reckless bicyclists and motorists. Ross Mirkarimi, who is ironically born on the same day and the same same year as Barack Obama, both controversial people. Ross Mirkarimi worked for the former sheriff, district attorney of San Francisco, Terrence Hallinan, who has a horrible background, terrible administrator. Corruption was rampant. He was at the Glory Hole Party in May of 1997, where there was simulated cannibalism, public masturbation, and all kinds of sodomy with a scotch bottle and all kinds of disgusting things that went on there to celebrate Jack Davis's 50th birthday. Jack Davis reportedly has AIDS. That's the report. And he doesn't live in San Francisco. I think he lives in Arizona, well away from fellow perverts here in this town. Anyway, Mirkarimi worked for Hallinan as a so-called investigator. We don't know what he did because we were monitoring that office on the Raul Almison case, the senior citizens who were victims of an attempted assassination because they were whistleblowers. Also, he became a county supervisor, or what you call an alderman back east, which he was one of the people that oversaw, one of the public officials that oversaw the billions of dollars that were coming into San Francisco for the HUD programs, housing, affordable housing, AIDS, that sort of thing. And it's a question about conflict of interest there for him after two terms to run for sheriff, where we believe that there is supposed to be a two-year hiatus, that you can't run for another office after you have handled federal funds. We're going to nail that down. Anyway, that's one of the issues against him. Also, his supporters, the former sheriff, a guy named Hennessy, had strip-searched an old nun and threw her naked into a cell. That was not called for. She was just involved in a peaceful protest. Other people have been sexually abused up there. There's been brutal rapes of a young white kid who was busted for drugs, was threatened if he didn't submit, his head would be put in a toilet and he would drown. That kid sued and got a big sum of money. You didn't hear about that. In another case of abuse, a detainee's arm was broken. And in Steve Neri's case, he was abused. He was denied access to sunlight for 3.5 years, which is illegal. They denied him the results of his attacker's communicable disease status of AIDS, HIV, VD, gonorrhea, hepatitis, because Juan Pifferre was a drug addict as well as a sexual predator. And then the U.S. Navy sent mail to Stephen Neri, certified mail. Stephen Neri was not there, and the mail should have been sent back, no longer here. Instead, they signed for the certified letter, then destroyed it, and then denied any knowledge of it. So these are just some of the violations. And then the habeas corpus violation involving Stephen Neri had filed a habeas corpus motion in the federal courts, and that was ignored. So all these are the scumbag things that have gone on with Mirkarimi. Well, it turns out, by chance, I was surfing TV one night early in the morning, and I was watching C-SPAN. And lo and behold, Pedro, who was a C-SPAN host, is a spinning image of Ross Marek-Remy, so we wonder if they were separated at birth, and you have to go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site to check that out. Among the other things that people should be aware of is, excuse my hand, there's a growing expose of some people begin to realize that this gay marriage is just the beginning or part of the beginning of an agenda to homosexualize as much of American life as possible. We already had Obama overturning or don't ask, don't tell, or don't ask because we won't tell. But we're seeing a huge spike in homosexual pornography on the web. They're polluting the web with this stuff, and they seem to glorify male rape. We will show expurgated copies of some of the things that have gone up there. And you would think in the age of AIDS that these people would use condoms. They don't. They brag about going bareback. That's the term. They target especially young military recruits, which they're young and good-looking and sturdy and hardy, all of that, and fit. But this stuff that's going on the web that's put out by these people, some of them have been employees in the district attorney's office here in San Francisco. We're on the public payroll, and the stuff that they put out, the filth that they put out, is not fit, even in a porno arcade. It's just glorification of S&M and all kinds of filthy practices that no decent person wants to be associated with. Yet these people have huge salaries that are paid for by the American taxpayer, plus hospitalization, vacation, retirement. So these things, of course, are not publicized in the corporate or the alternative press. You have to go on the web to find this garbage or who's doing it. And a lot of it, there are lawyers involved. This is the other interesting thing. So we'll be back Wednesday. And also, we want to do our salute to Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau. I really like the fact that he sang to the horses. That saved his life, probably, if he had been on the front lines in the Operation Barbarossa or at the Battle of Kursk in Russia. He would have probably been captured or killed, and the world would have lost a great voice, a great singer, a great artist. And of course, there are other ones too. But it's an interesting, this is not well known, but there are artists who stayed in Germany who were presumably Aryan. Hans-Mitch Isersted, a great conductor, he died today. He stayed in Germany during the Nazi period. Wilhelm Furtwängler. Others like Eric Kleiber, he left for Argentina. Of course, he was Austrian. Toscanini would not conduct at Bayreuth or go back to Germany. I don't think he even went back to Germany after the end of World War II. He had mixed feelings about, he wanted to conduct at La Scala at the restored house after World War II, and he finally did shortly before his death. But many of the artists, and I don't know how you want to look at this, chose to stay in Germany instead of fleeing like Otto Klemperer. We had, on the other hand, the great Herbert von Karajan, Carl Bohm. I don't know about Schwarzkopf, Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, but there are artists who also left and would not play for the Nazis. They would not allow their art to be compromised in their view. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, because we're coming to the point where we're going to have the poker game in politics, where they're going to decide if somebody's going to run against Obama in the Democratic camp, and who will Romney or the honchos in the Republican Party choose as his running mate, or has that running mate already been chosen their political animal for that position. So we will end with our usual theme, politics and poker.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the plan?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrace.
Bet on that.
Little trade, good as gold.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fajicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Wednesday. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Good night, and go to our Amica Zeritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and also go to our Amica Zeritas YouTube. So we'll end now. I'm losing my voice again. It's the weather change. So thanks for listening. Good night.